December 30th, 2017, the last Sabbath of the year. Can you believe this year has already gone by? Seems like the other day we were just talking about Y2K. Now we're at Y2K18. 18 years later. Who would have thought we'd still be here this long? Did everybody have a good 2017? Was your year good? Is there something that happened this year that you're especially thankful for that you could share with somebody? Is there something, one thing you can think of in your life or this past year that was that good? We all have a personal testimony. There's power in a personal testimony. Every one of us here today should have some testimony of how God has done something in our life, how He's changed it, how He's impacted our life. He may have delivered us from some sin. He may have saved us from a dangerous situation. We may have pulled out from the car and miraculously been saved. There's so many things that God has done for us, where it may just be that one person that God brought us into contact with who one day may be in the kingdom. We all have some sort of testimony. And this list can go on. And I'm certain that we do all understand the power of a personal testimony. Advertisers do. Have you ever seen on TV those info commercials that have those people stand up there that in one picture they have a bigger body than they should have had, and the next thing they look like Charles Atlas up here because of some diet? A personal testimony is something that people can relate to. There's something persuasive about seeing somebody that's been radically changed because of something or some product. It's especially amazing, really powerful, when you know that person is telling you this and they don't have anything at all to gain by it. All they are doing is because they care about seeing someone changed. And by a show of hands, you don't have to show your hands, you can just in your mind, would you agree that the greatest decision that anybody could ever make in their life is to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior? Amen. You know, when you've done that, you have something in your possession that is extremely powerful in persuading others to accept Christ. That is your personal testimony. Simply telling others what Christ has done in your life. It's so simple. It's personal. You know, you don't have to memorize Bible verses, although it's helpful. And you don't have to worry about telling it correctly. It's your story. It's not a sermon. It's your personal testimony. And what better way to praise God and tell what He has done for you and at the same time win souls for the kingdom? And so we're going to take a few minutes this morning and witness some personal testimonies in the Bible and the power that they had upon others. But before we do that, let's ask the Lord's blessing as we pray. Dear Father in heaven, we invite You to be here with us this morning. As we impart the Word, Lord, we pray that Your presence will be here, that You will speak through me, that as I speak, the words will be sent from heaven. Put me aside, Lord, and let Your Spirit speak. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you remember the story of the demoniac at Gadara? When Jesus, we have a couple, yes. If you remember back, Jesus had just crossed Galilee. There had been a great big storm that had scared the disciples to death. Remember what Jesus said when He calmed that storm? Peace. Be still. Well, after that storm, they arrived on the other side of the lake to a place called Gadara. In the Bible, it's also known as the Gadarenes. It was kind of like of a state of an area. It wasn't really a city. It was just a large area. And so as they get off the boat, they're walking across. I'm sure that the disciples, they were feeling good. The storm had bypassed. The day was pretty. They were just walking along. And, I mean, everything just felt right. But if you had those days where things were just feeling really good and everything was wrong, and then it happened. All of a sudden, from out of the tombs comes this wild man running down the hill. Eyes wild, no clothes on, screaming, yelling. Have you ever had a dog or something jump out from behind a bush at you? What do you do? After you freak out, you take off running. Well, the disciples did that very thing. When they saw this man, they took off like grease lightning. They were gone. This guy scared them to death. But he got to Jesus, and Jesus just stopped him right dead in his track. And the possessed man, the demon, spoke to him and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion, because I am many." You remember the rest of the story. Jesus looked around, didn't see any disciples anywhere. The disciples looked up, and they don't see Jesus either. They say, "Where's Jesus?" So they look back up, and so they start looking up the hill, and they see Jesus at the top of the hill sitting with this man. The man is dressed. He is sane. He's got all his faculties. The demons have been cast out. The demons have gone where? Do you remember where Jesus cast those demons? Into the pigs. The pigs went for a swim off the cliff. 2,000 of them killed. And so we're going to pick up our story, where it leaves off. We're going to go back to Mark chapter 5. If you're with me, turn with your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And this comes to the point where Jesus has already been talking to him. He had been preparing to leave, and they're getting ready to get back on the boat. And so it's Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." He wanted to stay with Jesus. He loved him. He wanted to stay with him. "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith to him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed," talking about the formerly possessed man, "he departed and began to publish, to tell people in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men," how many men? "All men did marvel." And this same account can also be found in the book of Luke chapter 8 as well. This is true evidence that God desires to use every willing person, even those who had been possessed by demons, to spread his good news despite past events that happened in their lives. Everyone that has accepted Jesus has a personal testimony. And everybody's testimony is unique and different. And sharing your personal testimony is a wonderful way of sharing the gospels of Christ with others. And you know, when I found myself, whenever I share what Christ has done for me and how he has led in my life, people are much more willing to listen to what I have to say than when I'm standing up here just regurgitating things from the Bible. Not to say that you should be listening now, because I want you to be listening, but we have a powerful testimony. Our lives, our stories speak volumes that we can never speak from a pulpit or from a public place. A former drug user or alcoholic can relate to somebody in that distress much better than somebody who has never touched a drop of alcohol. When they talk about their personal deliverance, they can show what God has done for them and how he brought them out of that world, and that he can bring them out as well. Powerful our testimony. When we tell somebody, "I have been there, I have done that," it makes much more impact on them than to be a scholar that tells them the effect, the chemical effect that drugs and alcohol are going to have on their brain. They've walked the same path. They understand. Doug Batchelor's the richest caveman testimony has reached more people than all the Harvard studies of the effects of chemicals on the body have ever had. Doug shares that, and many people have been saved because of that personal testimony. They've been there and they understand. A lifelong teetotaler, someone who has never touched anything, cannot relate to an addict. Common ground can open the door for witnessing. And people are interested in stories. Do you like to hear a good story from somebody, how God has done something in their life? People love hearing personal stories. And some of these same people who love these stories, you would never get to sit down for a Bible study, couldn't get to come into church with you, but they will allow you to share your personal testimony with them. And every believer, every one of us can share our testimony with others. And then we go back to our scripture reading for today. It's about Jesus changing the life of a woman he met in Samaria. And after Christ changed her life, she immediately proceeded to share her testimony with everybody else. So we're going to use this woman at the well is an example to see how other people can share their testimonies with others. Our Bible text was from John chapter 4, 28 through 30, but we're going to take a moment just for a little background before we get into that, just to set the stage of what is happening here. Again, Jesus is on his way to Galilee. They're walking. But in order to get there from where they're going, they have to pass through a place called Samaria. Samaria was not a place that a good Jew wanted to be, but in order to get where they needed to in a reasonable amount of time, they had to go through Samaria. Well, as they were walking through there, it was a hot day. They were tired. They'd been walking for a while, and the disciples were getting a little hungry, so Jesus sent them back for food. It's interesting that all the disciples went for the food. They must have been preparing to bring back a good amount of food because they all left. And Jesus stayed there, and he sat down by a well, the well of Jacob, Jacob's well. As he sat down, a woman approached the well. During those days, it was very improper for a woman and a man to be alone in a setting. Well, this woman came up there, and she came to draw some water from the well. Jesus turned to her and said, "Will you get me a drink?" You can imagine the surprise on her face because, first of all, a Jewish person would not ever ask a Samaritan for anything, never. And then for a man to ask a woman to do that in that kind of setting was even more rare. In verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" A woman, a Samaritan woman, and being alone with a man. Bad news for a Jew. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Then you remember Jesus talks to her and offers her what? Living water. In verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who has it that saith to thee, Give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? You don't have anything to get the water out of the well with. How are you going to get it out? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So now we can find out, we get to our verses, how can we share our testimony as we look back on this story? First, the first thing we need to do is to tell them of our life before we met Christ. We have to tell about how we were before we met Christ. In the case of this woman, she had a past, quite a past. Let's read John 4, verses 15 through 19. John 4, 15 through 19. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith to her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that you said truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. You can imagine the look on the woman's face when Jesus told her about her past. I'm sure she turned about five shades of red and a couple of purple. She was embarrassed. Have you ever had a secret that you were trying to hide from somebody, you're talking, you're really embarrassed about, and all of a sudden somebody comes out with it and they spilled the beans on you and you realize that you're caught? But after you turn red, what's the first thing you try to do? Try to change the subject. Well, that's what this woman did. She said, Yeah, I perceive that you're a prophet. She tried to evade the discussion of her own life by changing the topic of the conversation to something that didn't apply to her at all, if she could just distract Jesus for a little bit and get him involved in some sort of religious discussion, it would spare her the embarrassment of having to talk about her own past. And then, in verses 25 and 26, Jesus revealed who he was to this woman. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And then she believed on Christ. And notice what she did. The woman left her water pot. She didn't waste time. She dropped it and took off. And she went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Her testimony. When she met Christ for the first time, she dropped what she was doing and she took off to share her good news with anybody who would listen. And people listened. And when you share your personal testimony with people, tell them briefly about your life before Christ. And when you do, don't be too graphic or detailed. Don't go into the little fine points of all the terrible, awful things. Don't tell about how many times you got drunk for 15 years and what you did when you were drunk. You don't need to tell all of the details. Just share those things that you're comfortable in sharing, those things that you're going to be able to reach people. Don't sit there and glorify the past. And try to tell things that they can relate to, things that you can share in common with them. Because if you tell them about your past, about running around with people, and their problem is cussing, they're not going to be able to relate to what you have to say. Make it pertain to what they're having, what they're doing. When Paul did this, he would witness to the Jews. He would share his background as a Jewish Pharisee in his previous zeal for the Jewish religion. Paul showed where he was wrong when he was witnessing to people of his faith. And second, very important, to point them to Jesus. Let them know that you have found the answer. You found the purpose and the meaning to life, and it is Christ Jesus. You know, you can never go wrong by bragging on Jesus. Magnify him and lift him up. This was Paul's utmost desire, and it should be ours. And one thing we need to make sure to remember, that when we're giving the testimony, that all the glory goes to God and not to ourselves. It has nothing to do with us. It is all for God. And in verse 29, the woman told everybody, come see a man. She wanted them to see Jesus. Are you so excited about what Jesus has done for you, you're ready to drop your water pot and run out here in Rossville and tell everybody what he has done for you? If not, we need to examine ourselves, because we should be excited about telling people what Jesus has done for us. And if we tell them about what Jesus has done for us, tell of your story of salvation, how Jesus realized that you realized who Christ really was, and he died and gave his life for you and for your sins. And then you can share verses like Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. Tell them about his resurrection from the dead and how he has given you new life. And tell them about Christ. Our testimony should tell about the sufficiency of Christ. Everything he did was adequate to cover for us, and then more. Explain how your life has taken on new meaning since accepting Christ. And do it in a few words. You don't have to give a whole soliloquy of what happened. You can make it short and to the point. People will appreciate that, and tell them what Christ has done, what he has meant to you and your family since the time of your salvation. Trust in God's word. You know there's power in God's word. And you remember, your personal testimony is never a substitute for God's word. There is no authority in your testimony. The authority is in God's word and God's word alone. This is why when you give your testimony, even though I said you don't have to know a bunch of scripture, it's good if you have scripture in your testimony. People can appreciate that. Like say Romans 10, 13, let them know, for whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Powerful words. God's word brings true conviction upon the heart. As you share the gospel contained in God's word, it is the power of God unto salvation. He says it in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to almost everyone who believes." To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Seventh-day Adventist and to the atheist, to whoever hears this word, this is the gospel unto salvation for them. And number four, this is a big one. Expect God will use you. Don't expect to give your testimony and think that God is not going to use you for his work. God sometimes allows these very events into our lives just so we can reach others who may not could be reached anyway else. Having a testimony and not sharing it with the lost is equivalent to being the man who was given a talent and buried it in the ground. Invest your talent and watch it multiply. You know, God used this woman to touch many lives. Her past didn't matter at all. God still used her. As a matter of fact, when people see how God has used these events in people's lives, they can do unbelievable things, and their testimony will be the result of those unbelievable things happening. Your testimony, seeing the power of God makes these things so much more powerful when people see how God has worked in your life. And you know, it's interesting to see how the people responded to this woman's testimony. You know, some of the people believed right away when they heard this woman's testimony. And in verse 39 it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him." That very day, many of them believed on him. Others did not, but she planted the seed that was later watered by Christ. And the verse continues, "So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word." So her testimony alone brought some people to Christ. And it brought other people where they were willing to come to Christ. And he brought them to salvation because of that seed that was planted by someone else. Sometimes your testimony can lead a person to Christ. Other times it will begin to create a thirst and a hunger in them to know more about Christ. But when you share your testimony of God's truth, remember this, it is never in vain. God will always use it. Today I want to do something a little bit different. Before I came to Rossville, there used to be a time during the church service where people were allowed to give a testimony, and for different reasons, for time constraints, that was kind of phased out. But today, I would like to give you the opportunity to share what Christ has done for you, your testimony. It doesn't have to be long. Matter of fact, we don't want it to be very long. We want people to have time to give a testimony, no more than 2 or 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be that long, but I want to give everyone an opportunity. Every one of us here have something to testify that God has done in our life. And you know, there are no small testimonies. They're all big. They're all great in God's eyes. These words of life, they edify, they lift up the body of Christ and glorify him at the same time. So I'm going to ask somebody to take the microphone and Matthew Wittgen or John. I'm going to just have John have the microphone. And if you've got something that you want to share. If you have something that you would like to share, John will bring the microphone to you. And then you don't have to stand, you can stand, you can sit, whatever you prefer, and just share what God has done for you.
I don't know if I can get through this without tears, but I'm going to do it anyway. Before October, I don't know what was good or what was bad because the problems and the pain and things that I had in October on that ship had made a big difference in my life. I don't know why. You know, the good suffer with the bad and why we have pain. But that pain has left me a new person. I feel like I've had a new lease on life.
Amen.
And I'm happier and I'm more have Jesus for the last month or 6 weeks, he can take care of me the rest of my life. So
amen.
I just want to share that.
Amen.
I know some people think that the church asks too much. But I'm here to say that in the 50 years that I've been a member of the Adventist Church, that I have never outgiven God.
Amen.
No matter what I spend for the church or for the projects that we're doing, my money lasts till the end of the month.
Amen.
Sometimes people say, well, how can you afford to do that much? My brother asked me that years ago, and I said, I can't afford not to.
Amen.
If I don't give God what is his, he's not going to bless what I have.
Amen.
Amen.
And right now we've got a project going. I'm kind of disappointed in my church members. A box of ramen noodles, you can get them for about $2 a box. What do you do with $2? If everybody brought one box each month, there would be a lot more going down to prison for the prisoners. And a lot more people would get the blessings that me and one other lady are getting because we faithfully bring our noodles each month.
Amen.
In fact, we bring them each week. It's not because I want you to bring the noodles. It's because I want you to get the blessings that God has provided for me and for her. God has blessed me so abundantly, and I cannot outgive him. He's always there for me.
Amen.
To lift me up. I can't get around real good, but what I do, he helps me get to where I need to go.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to being able to go back into the prison next week for the Bible studies.
Amen.
To be with the prisoners.
Very good.
I've missed that so much. And I thought when I first started it, almost 3 years ago, that maybe this wasn't what was meant for me, but God has blessed me so much through these men that have messed up. Because I've messed up, and he forgave me, and he's forgiven them. And we've baptized about 7 of them into the Adventist Church. So what we do for them, God does for us.
Amen.
And more besides.
It's amazing. Sometimes those we go to try to save are the ones that help save us.
Amen.
John.
Oh. I just want to praise the Lord for all he's done in my life and all the blessings he's brought me. And you go through such hard times, and when you look back, you think, how did that come out the way it did? And you can always look back and say the Lord's hand in everything. You might not know it at the time, but his hand is there. And all we have to do is ask him and believe and have faith and trust him, and he will be with us through anything. He has me.
Amen.
This situation didn't happen this past year, but I just want to praise God for protecting me during my accident that I had 2 years ago. I was driving along Volkswagen, and I hit ice. And I'm not experienced as a driver, especially on ice. I'm from a tropical island, so I'm not used to that. And I was driving, and I hit ice, and my car just flew over this median and, you know, turned around and slammed against the guardrail. And I noticed that, you know, at first I was in shock, and I noticed that the car was all, you know, dented on the inside, so I could tell that it was hit really hard. And after a while, the trailer pulled over and asked if I was, the gentleman asked if I was okay, and I said yes. But I just sat there, and I called the ambulance, of course, and called 911, that is. And after I got out and I was in the ambulance, I looked at the car, and it was in the middle of the road, and all the trailers were passing, and I didn't realize my car was actually, I could have gotten killed twice, if you know what I mean. And I just want to praise God for everything. Part of that praise is that it was almost a brand new Camry that we had bought, and we paid it off, and Tony was in school at the time. And so we had taken the comprehensive insurance off the car, so we had no way of, you know, getting a new car from the insurance company. We finally, after several days of prayer, you know, God worked it out where staff at It Is Written collected money. One lady gave $800, you know, and she collected the money and gave it to me, and I was able to purchase my truck that's outside there. And that's another miracle, how I got the truck. It's amazing. It's just miracle after miracle. And the Lord promises that when we, you know, we everything belongs to Him. And when we are faithful to Him, because we've kept faithful to God over all those years, and we trusted in His promises. We claimed those promises. We said, Lord, we are vindicating You. It's Your time to vindicate us. And God did that for us that day, and we walked away. You know, even after the gift that we got, the money, we paid our tithes and offerings out of it, and we still were able to come up with a truck. God is so good to us, and God will continue to bless us when we recognize that this is not about us. This is a great controversy we're in. This is about Him, about His glory, about His praise.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I was, this past year, I kind of decided that I wanted to increase my offering giving, because I realized how the Lord was blessing just giving my tithes and offerings. I was just doing a 5% thing for the offering. And I decided this year to increase that to 10%. And I was wondering how things were going to go, because I still wanted to get things that I enjoyed and whatever, so I wasn't exactly sure how this was going to go over. But I decided to test the Lord, like it says in Malachi, to see if He would pour out the storehouses of heaven in blessings for me. So I started giving 10% in offering. And, of course, 10% in tithe, too. So as I kept on giving that, I realized something, because the more I gave, the more I got. And so I feel like I can't almost go a week without having some money in the tithe envelope, because I keep on getting money from different things, whether it's Christmas or just different things like that. And I was also playing for the choir at Ottawa Church, and that's why I wasn't here last Sabbath, or the Sabbath before, should I say. And I was able to get quite a bit from that. And so I feel like the more that I give, the more that I receive, and therefore the more that I give again. So I'm thinking, as one of my New Year's resolutions, to possibly increase my offering once more.
Amen.
A few years ago, I led a total different life than what I lead now. And it was a life that most of us don't understand. And I feel like a lot like the woman at the well. When Jesus did come and talk to me, then I saw, you know, I'm a third generation Adventist, but that doesn't really mean anything. You know, it's got to be in a person's heart that really does this. And several things went down here after I met Karen. And we don't have to go into detail about it, but anyway, some serious things went down. And here a while back, I was in Walmart, and this guy walked up to me, and he looked at me. He said, "Stanley?" I said, "Wayne." And He said, "I've been hearing some things about you." And I said, "Yeah, we've been hearing." He said, I saw on Facebook somebody posted on there that you've been doing some sermons. I said, "Well, yeah, I have." And anyway, we started talking, and Karen walked up about then, and she said, "Lord have mercy." She said, "This is one thing I thought I'd never see, Stanley and Wayne sitting here talking religion." He and I both were dealing it back in those days. And there were other guys that I was dealing with. I met another boy, and he said, "I hear you're a Seventh-day Adventist now." I said, "I've always been one." I said, "But I said, "I've turned my life around here." He said, "Well," he said, "there's no sense in discussing the Bible with you, then, is there?" I said, "We can talk about the Bible." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Nah." He said, "One thing about Adventists," he said, "they know the Bible." He says, "There's nothing else to say about it." I said, "Well, okay, whatever. You got any questions, ask me." But a lot of people I think have a hard time understanding me now, because when I did come back into the church, I come back into it with my heart. And I didn't want to put up with any foolishness. There was a lot of foolishness going on in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And then when I tried to stand up for the faith and stand up for the Adventist church, I was, I offended others, and I'm sorry if people who I did offend. No, actually, I'm not sorry, because it was for the Adventist faith. And but I want to thank God that, God looks at our past and the things that we've done in the past, and if we let God do it, this is for the good. This is experiences that we can pass on, and the people that we were messing with and dealing with in those days, when they see you now, they can see a change. That's what you have to, that's what they have to see, is that change. And that's what makes all the difference in the world, and I thank God for the change.
Amen. I can relate to what Stanley's saying, because my life years ago, if people that knew me 20 years ago saw me today, they'd probably pass out, and they'd be amazed to see that I'm up here in a pulpit right now. But the Lord gives us our testimony, and we all have something to share, and it's just amazing how God works in our lives. Ken?
First of all, I want to affirm Stanley. I know you used to express some doubts about your sermon. The discernment I have is you gave great sermons, and I know there's a lot of spirit in you. And I also like to affirm Jim, Brenda. I've seen them grow spiritually. I tell Jim he's got a radio voice. He's got a hidden ministry there somewhere. As most of you know, last year this time I was having a serious heart ailment. My heart rate was down in the 30s. Long story short, I went to Dr. Stradienko, Jerry's heart doctor, and he wouldn't even let me leave the office until I signed a release. That's how bad it was. And then I had to wear that defibrillator. It wasn't a monitor, it was a defibrillator with the electrodes. 24/7 I had to wear that thing. And Helen kept saying, "You've got to be anointed, James chapter 5. You got to have the anointing." I said, "I pray every day." "Okay, so I would do it your way." Pastor Pettingale, and a few of the others, including you, John, we had an anointing right there, Monday afternoon, April 24. And nothing miraculously happened. But out here by Johnson Road, something did happen as we left. My heart rate went back into the 70s. It's been there ever since.
Amen.
The defibrillator I was wearing, it went off when I was up there in the pulpit. And it gives you a 20-second warning to hit the reset button, which I did when I was having the benediction. And I sent that thing back to Pennsylvania, where they monitor it 24/7. And the Lord brought my heart rate back up out there by Johnson Road and Mission Ridge Road. And it's been up there ever since, and God is blessed. God is blessed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just like to say that God never gives up on anybody. He loves us all. I was born into a family that was not Christian and had some very questionable lifestyle habits. I survived the childhood and started seeking God as a child, but with very, very little knowledge, and led in the wrong direction many times, and had many walks down the aisle to be baptized, expecting some kind of a miracle, you know, that this little girl would suddenly be good and would suddenly make no mistakes and no errors, and everything would just, I really don't know what I expected, but I was disappointed every time. But I didn't give up on God, and he didn't give up on me. And eventually, I decided I had to have a heart-to-heart with him. And on my knees, I confessed my condition to him and admitted that nothing had changed and that I didn't expect anything to change unless he intervened and did it in me, because I needed to change completely. I needed to be a new person. I gave up, in other words, on myself. And when I gave up, that gave God permission to start working. Mm-hmm. And he's been working ever since. And you don't see a perfect person sitting here, but you see someone that loves God and that feels confident in God, knows he can do anything, and that he won't quit working with me, as the Bible says, until he has accomplished his will.
Amen.
Just the opposite, Brenda. I wasn't raised in any church, really. I've only visited maybe two times when I was like 14 or 15 years old. I was living down in East Lake in a rundown apartment, drinking alcohol, drinking beer, smoking pot, and the Lord came to me, and I just felt his presence in my heart. And he says to me, go find you a Bible. So I did. Bible led me to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that's where I am now. And I just praise him for coming to me and changing my life around and loving me.
Amen. Anyone else have a testimony they'd like to share this morning? What God has done for you. We see what power God has in our lives. We can see it ourselves. But we can see that power even amplified more when we share it with somebody else. When we see that power coming through us and being reflected onto somebody else. And in turn, it gives them a testimony they can share. We can be the catalyst to a revival that we have no idea of what can happen just because of one testimony we share with somebody else. We see the result of what happened with the healed demoniac when he left. When Christ came back across the lake, the people, you remember when he was there, they were pretty upset because the pigs had been killed and they wanted to leave. They were scared. In the time that he was gone, the time he came back, that man had reached that city, and they welcomed him with open arms. Many were converted because of his testimony. When the woman at the well took off and shared what Jesus had done for her, she told her, Jesus knew about me. He knew what I had done. All these people probably knew what she had done. This man knew, and she came and said, he knew, this is the Christ. They went. They believed. They believed after they came to him because of her. See, there were many ripple effects because of what she did. Our testimonies can have no less power. We need to share. And we can do that. We can share our testimony. As we share with people, have one of these little cards in your hand. Invite them to a meeting. They may take it and look at it. They may set it down. Somebody else may come and pick it up. They may take their phone out, just take a picture of it, just to say, just so I'll remember it. They'll hit this little scan button. It'll give them directions to our church. There's an 800 number they can call. There's so many things because it's one little card that we can, just by sharing with somebody, that we can be the difference in their life. Give them to your friends. When people say, how are you so happy? Laz gave his testimony the other day. A man came up to him and said, what makes you different? All you do is say, come here and we can find out. But they don't have to come to meetings to find out what Christ has done for you. As we heard, people that knew us in our past may look at us today and say, wow. Like my brother said to me one time, Tony, if you can change, there's hope for all of us. Powerful words. Let us pray that the Lord will give us the strength and the power to share what he has done for us with others. As we close, let's stand for our opening hymn, number 457.